Thank you, Lord. Before I got saved, I never wanted to go to church. Then I wanted to go to church after I got saved because I wanted to learn the Bible. I wanted to know, you know, how God thinks, who He is. And then after a while, I stopped wanting to go to church. Why? Because of Christians. Because of Christians. And then I said, fully on Christians. I want to learn the Bible. So I want to go back to church again. And I'm proud to say that this is a church I have fallen in love with.
Amen.
Because I would hope you're here because you want to learn the Bible.
Amen.
And you want your relationship with Jesus Christ to get even closer.
Yes, sir.
Deeper and deeper in His love. Amen. The older you get, the deeper you walk with God, the more simpler it should become. Isn't that funny? It's always grace and faith.
Yeah.
Never changes. He never changes. And yet our understanding of Him changes as far as the illumination, the amount of light He gives us, and how great He is. It's never ending. We're going to see that today. We're going to look at it from a different perspective. It's in Romans chapter 3. You're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
You're saved and you're happy, you know it, saved, amen, say amen.
Amen.
Wow. Some people are saved here today. Romans chapter 3, we're going to read verses 20 to 31, but I want you to see verse 31 first. What you're going to notice is the language in here, don't be afraid of the jargon or get all tripped up, it's kind of legally minded. You know, I'm not the greatest, you know, legal analyst or anything, but what he's doing is he's establishing a precedent. He's establishing a truth that is required for maturity and growth in the Christian walk. See what he says in verse 31? Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Just because the law is fulfilled in Christ doesn't mean it doesn't have a role in your life. And that's what the focus of this church is all about, understanding what sanctification is and the crucified life. And that although you're not under the law and you're under grace, grace is allowing God to fulfill and keep the law while you're under grace. That's what Calvary's all about. Wonderful, wonderful truth. But now we're going to pick it up in verse number 20. Let's go through this. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, read through this here. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, you're going to notice the particular and specific use of the word by and through. And when he gets to the end here, he's going to show you that the Jewish perspective of the law is different than a Gentile. Anybody in here a Jew from their ethnic background? Anybody? So Jewish people think different than you and I when it comes to the law. See, we're guilty. We need a Savior. We're guilty of sin. We need a Savior. I mean, so you hear the message of Christ and it's like, man, I'll take that. He paid for my sins. Glory to God, I'll take it. Yeah. But a Jew's like, well, wait a minute here. What about all the deeds of the law? You know, I mean, we can't keep them. We need to say, did he keep them? That has to be something that has to be understood by them in recognizing Jesus Christ as a substitute sacrifice for their sins. He's not just an animal that died that can never take away sins. He's the sinless Son of God. See, He kept the law in our place. And then fulfilled the law by dying in our place so that we could have the innocence of His life keeping the law in our place. To substitute, amen? I'll take it. But you and I as Gentiles, we don't get that until after we're saved. We just know, glory to God, He died for my sins.
Yeah.
So that's what you're going to get by faith and through faith, because it's in contrast to by the law. Now, that's what you're seeing right here. Therefore, by the deeds of the law. See the by? By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in whose sight? See? If you think you're justified or you think you're a good person, it's only in the eyes of other people. Every person in here has sinned. We're all sinners. Let's not kid ourselves. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, so the law, in trying to keep the law, the deeds of the law, you're going to realize, well, John, just look at that guy go by me, 70 miles an hour on the highway. It's only a 55 mile an hour limit. But you're going 60 miles an hour. That's what the law does. We judge other people. I would never drive. We do the same thing. I would never let my kids. I would never have my wife. I would never go. That's what we do. And it becomes a competitive, comparative concept of righteousness. God says, let's make it easy. You're all sinners. And I'll save every one of you. If you let me. So we have to be open-minded to what he's trying to show us here. He says, in his sight, God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why little children don't die and go to hell. Your kid's going to go to hell if he doesn't get baptized. Well, first of all, what's baptism going to do in it? Come on, people. Come on. It's water. Amen?
Right.
They don't have a knowledge of sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. They haven't reached that age of accountability. Is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of who? The righteousness of God. I really don't care about your righteousness, and I don't really want you to care about my righteousness. At one time, I cared about my righteousness. Now I'm learning more and more to clothe myself in his righteousness. It's a much better clothing to wear. It's way more relaxed. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed, so there's witness, by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness, here it is again, of God, which is by faith. Can you imagine standing before the Almighty and saying, I'm good enough to get to heaven? Come on. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of who? People stumble over this. We always look at faith as something that's blind. We're going to look, there's a four-word phrase we're going to focus on today. When God asks you to put your faith in him, it's not blind. It sees. It's not in spite of what you see. It's in the light of what you see. It's evidential. It's substantive. It can be proven. And we're going to prove that today through a law called the law of faith. That's the phrase we're going to get to. But he says right here, the righteousness, which is by faith. And so Jesus Christ's faith is not the same as you and I. He knew by faith when he died, he was going to rise again. Unto all and upon all. Now, see, unto all and upon all, Christianity isn't exclusive. Everybody can get saved. But not everybody gets saved. Not everybody chooses of their free will to believe that the Word of God is true. They don't. And I'm going to challenge that doubt today by trying to take an eraser to your doubt and prove that this book is true. And so he says right here, upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. So there's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile, between Old Testament and New Testament, between male and female. It doesn't matter. For all have, see how God puts us all in the same boat? You know how they say misery loves company? Oh, you're here too. Feel better about it, amen? If you're saved here today, you're saved by grace. We all are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified how? Really? If I told you right after Bible study today, they're giving free pizzas down the street. Free prime ribs. Free whatever, a free car at Honda down the street. I'll guarantee you, there's some people in here that wouldn't wait to the service. Isn't it funny that the only thing that's really free, whenever anybody calls me on the phone or knocks on my door, after the first polite thing, I say, no, I'm not interested. They keep going. I'm like, okay, God wants me to respond. That's how I give them that one period of asking me. I say, no, I'm not interested. Yeah, but you got to be happy to. Okay. Listen, I said, now let me tell you something. What you're offering me isn't free, and I'm going to offer you something that is free. And it's the only thing I've ever found in my whole life that's truly free. Mm-hmm. Say, what's that, salvation? I did nothing to get saved except believe on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Changed my life. And so he says right here, justified freely by his grace. This is the hindrance with the Jew and the Gentile of understanding salvation. They're trying to keep the law. And the Gentiles say, free? I'll take it. Freely. By whose grace? It's his grace. through the redemption that is in who, to when you redeem something, you're buying it back. So there's legal jargon here. And so he says right here, going forward, when God hath, whom God, Jesus Christ is whom, God hath set forth to be, here's another word, propitiation. Just remember the pro in it. See, it's a positive word. Amen. He sent propitiation through faith in his blood. When Jesus shed his blood, something positive happened. God was able to atone for your sins and allow you to be brought back into a friendly relationship with him. Those two words, atonement and reconciliation, together, it's a peanut butter cup, amen? Because that's what propitiation means. It's good news. Should put a smile on your face, amen? So the propitiation through faith in his blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. To declare whose righteousness? His righteousness. So we're all sinners. You believe on Jesus Christ. Here's your sins. He'll take them. Here's my righteousness. He's asking you to take that. It's not hard. And so the Bible says for the remission of sins, that's a forgiveness, a remission of sins. Now he says for the remission of sins that are past, that's going to get into the Old Testament people that were waiting for the blood of Christ to be shed. Through the forbearance of God, he was waiting. He's tolerating. We'll get into that. I don't want to drift into that concept, but Old Testament saints had to wait for the blood of Christ to be shed. You and I don't. Why? Because he already shed it. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. He keeps going back. It's his righteousness. It's his righteousness. It's his righteousness. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We all want, you know, we all, you don't want to go to heaven? Well, what if there isn't heaven? Well, what if there is? Would you want to miss heaven? Would you want to go to hell? Well, what if there isn't? Well, what if there is? Why are you taking that chance? Amen. I think you better pay attention to what we're going over, because God's righteousness is the only way you're going to get it, brother. And it's going to be by faith. And we play around with faith all the time. Look at the next verse, 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the, this phrase. The law of faith. Do you see that? It's actually a law. It's a law. It can be repeated, demonstrated, empirically seen and experienced. It works. It's a law. The law of faith. That's what we want to look at today. Therefore, we conclude, there's a conclusion based on this that we want to get to, that a man is justified by faith without what?
The deeds of the law.
The deeds of the law define you as a sinner.
Yeah.
You need something more than the deeds of the law.
Hey.
A faith. You need faith in something somebody else did in your behalf that kept the law for you. Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the law of faith states that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
How do we know it's a law? Well, that's what we want to look at today. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yea, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision, that's Jewish people, by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. See, they're contrasting by faith with by the deeds of the law. They got to answer this. What we're looking at as a simply as a conduit, that's the way, want them. See? And uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we're both saved. Everybody's saved the same way, believing on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the understanding, the specific understanding is he just didn't pay for our sins. He kept the law, all the deeds of the law. Got it. He lived a sinless life. That's why it's so important that Jesus Christ is sinless. Yep. It's so important. We establish the law. So it's something concrete. It's something solid, something we want to get a hold of today. This phrase, the law of faith, is what we want to focus on today. Please, Father, use this time and privileged opportunity to give people a clearer understanding of this demonstrable, provable, experiential truth. Faith is based on a law. And I pray that it would glorify your Son and edify the body that's here, all for Christ's namesake, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You got a lot of people that they use the law of faith. Most places I've looked at and listened to, They take this phrase, the law of faith. You get the word of faith, promisers, preachers, and the name it, claim it crowd. You have not because you ask not. And, you know, you're sick because you don't have faith, and you're poor because you don't have. And we're all prone to that. I mean, just recently, I have a particular. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, the lottery was up to $400 million this week. It crossed the threshold where I'm going to get a ticket. Okay, so I got a ticket, and you know, well, God, if God wants me to win, okay, great. And then all throughout the few days prior to it, thoughts are going through my mind of all the good things I'll do with that money if I win. You know, the people I'll help. And, you know, the good things I'll do and the things I'll pay off and, you know, all, you know, God, and I promised to do this. And then all of a sudden, as the time went on, I began to thinking about people I wouldn't give money to. People I wouldn't have. Oh, if I were God. Eh? You know, people I would give money to, but how much should I give them? And those crazy, weird thoughts start going through my mind. And it's like, the Lord's telling you, you're not asking by faith. You're asking, but you're not going to get because you're asking amiss. But I still said, okay, God, maybe I'm thinking the wrong way. So I bought 3 tickets. Give God a chance to think the way I think. No, 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 no. The law of faith is God giving you a chance to think the way he thinks.
Yeah.
Amen. He doesn't think like we think. Amen. He's holy. He's pure. We want to look at this law of faith business and silence these word of faith preachers that you're sick because you don't have faith. Maybe you're sick because you have faith. Right. And there's something God is purging from your heart because that's the faith that God is concerned with. Amen? We want to look at this and understand this as we go further through it. And so when you say the law of faith, you think of a law, you think of something legal, something scientific. You know, legal, it's just you're guilty or you're innocent. Basically, that's how you think of it. I'm looking at more of it today, not just as illegal, but because we don't normally think of it this way, I want to focus it on the scientific aspect of it. Because often legal decisions and verdicts are based on scientific evidence. You have to prove somebody is guilty. He's innocent till proven guilty. So help me God. Put their hand on a Bible. People have no idea what they're doing every day of their lives. The law of faith. We're going to look at this. We want to understand this. The Bible says, prove all things. Christians should not be afraid of the challenges that this world poses to us regarding our faith. Because our faith isn't based on anything. It's based on something very, very specific. And it's important to recognize this when we study the law of faith. When back in the 1600s, when science was really taken off after the Dark Ages and the Roman Catholic control of, you know, society, you got to think like we think, and you know the world is flat because we say it's flat, and you can't do this because we say you can't do this. Science began to grapple with some things, and it's usually a tribute to a scientist. His name is Francis. I always call him Francis who loved bacon. His name was Francis Bacon. Everybody loves bacon, amen? It's a law, as far as I'm concerned. But somewhere in the 1600s, this fella came up with an orderly process to scientifically prove something isn't just a hypothesis or a theory, it's a law. Hypothesis, theory, it's a law. They call it the scientific method. See, and so he came, and since then people have been doing all kinds of things, an organized, local, logical process of discovering truth and then building upon it. I wondered, do all dogs bark? I don't think all dogs bark. Well, I know that, you know, chihuahuas bark, puggles bark, I know that labs bark and shepherds bark, and you go through with it, they got that one dog, the Benji, whatever it is, they got, you know, it's advertised, it caught my attention for, you know, thinking down the line a little bit. And I'm looking and I say, yep, but it barks. They all bark. So you would go through a scientific method and you'd be able to disprove it. Don't bark? Yeah, all dogs do bark. Scientifically, you could prove that that's wrong. Will Twinkies make you fat? You can scientifically prove that's not necessarily true. There's a person that went on a Twinkie diet. Anybody ever hear of it? Shouldn't have raised your hand. I want to try that diet, amen. So, it's calories that's involved with that thing. Bulls only charge red. You know that bulls are colorblind, for crying out loud? They'll charge anything. Don't stand around a bull. I mean, they're gonna, whether you're wearing red, yellow, orange, it doesn't matter. But you could scientifically go through all these things. You got these, the laws of gravity. Plop, it drops, and plop, it drops. And I'm not afraid of planes. It's the law of gravity that concerns me. That, I'm just being truthful with you. I get petrified when I'm on a plane. I want to vomit. I want to get sick. And I'm keeping a serious face and I'm trying to, you know, kind of tough and stuff. And it, deep inside, I'm holding back vomit. It wants to come out. I'm doing everything. I'm concentrating. Dad or John, why aren't you talking? Please shut up. I don't want to open my mouth. So it's because of the law of gravity that has been proven over. No, it's not a hypothesis or thing. It's a law. The law of biogenesis. The law of thermodynamics. The law of entropy. And you go through law after law after law after the law of electricity. You say, what's that? It's going to shock you. Amen. You know, it works. Every time you touch it like this, zap. I've been thrown many, many feet in the air because of the law of electricity. I respect laws. This is a law that's like no other law. The law of faith just doesn't have a hypothesis we're going to look at and then a theory we're going to test it with. And then the law that we're going to experientially apply in our own lives, we're going to see it's established. It's the end of all laws. It's the law of laws. And I'm going to tell you why ahead of time in case I forget. Don't get to it. Or you leave to go buy a car you think might be on sale. Because it works by faith. Because it works by love. Faith worketh by love. That's why it conquers all. It will and it does. Amen? Don't you want to apply it in your own life? Well, we want to build upon Mr. Francis Who Loved Bacon, the scientific method. And we want to apply it to the law of faith. In our own private lives, what I'm going to ask you to do is take a ride with me today. We're going to take a ride. We're going to look at this law of faith. We're going to begin with a hypothesis. And there's four things. There's two separate points. They both join together. But all four of them have five-letter words. So you got a five and a five and a five and a five. So we want to buckle down. We go on this ride because 55 saves lives. So they say. It's the law. So we're going to see the first two words are going to involve faith. And grace. Faith and grace. And so here's the hypothesis to the law of faith. You want to get this and understand this. The basis for the law of faith, what we're presuming to be true, and we want to test it. And you have to be open with any law, objectively open. Is it true? This is what we want to answer. Because it'll change your life, the law of faith. Amen. It's not going to change your life so you win a lottery ticket. It'll change your life so you'll get to heaven, man.
Amen.
And so this law of faith, here's the hypothesis. That faith, based on the word of God, is true. So what's that mean? Well, we're going to have to demonstrate that the word of God is true. And it's always true. And it's never not true. Well, that's the theory part of it. But first of all, we want to understand this. Amen. Because oftentimes you see the word faith and belief, you see it in this passage in different places in the Bible, verses 25 and 26, it talks about faith and it talks about belief. They're used interchangeably, but they're not identical all the time. Many people believe in Jesus. I believed in Jesus all of my life. I was raised a Roman Catholic. I didn't put my faith in him. They're slightly different. There's people that put their faith in God, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. So when we talk about there's four things we're going to look at going on this ride. To simplify, a key and a car, a cup holder and a can. This is my science project. I never was good at science with my kids. You should see some of the things we did homeschooling. They only passed because I was the teacher. I'm telling you right now. If anybody else was the teacher grading them, they all would have failed. But one of them is going to be a doctor, by the way. And here's another one with nutritional. So they did okay. But anyway, a key and a car. And first of all, this law of faith, we have to look at the key of faith. You know, when I was a little kid, we grew up, you know, over there in Hamden, all the doors would lock with one key. Today's way more technical society. But the key was shaped like an F.
and a little thing on the bottom where you could hold. They call it a skeleton key. Mm-hmm. If you had that key, you could get into Susie's bedroom and Johnny's bedroom and this bathroom and this bedroom. You get in the front door, you get in the back door, you get in. One key. It's the key of faith. Opens up all the doors that reveal to you who God is. It's the law of faith. But here's the hypothesis about this key. This key is hypothesizing that the word of God is truth. Now you look at this in verse number 2 of our text. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of who? God. See how belief and faith are interchangeably? Unbelief and not having faith? God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. So here's the hypothesis. That book is true and everybody else is a liar. I'll tell you one sin everybody in here commits, or will commit if they're too young yet. What's that? Lying. I never lied. That's another one. Hey, man, we all lie. A little bit, you know what I mean? So he says, the faith of God, let God be true. This is the key of faith. The key and a car. Because you ain't going to start up that car if you don't have the key. Amen? You need the key to start up that car. And so what we got here is we start with the key. What we're looking at as we go into this scientific method of Mr. Francis Loves Bacon, we're getting into this concept that this book has no errors in it. Amen. If it's truth, it doesn't have errors. Let God be true and all men lie. If this is a book that is built upon by men, then it's got some lies in it. I don't know what you got, but I got this one. This one ain't got no lies in it. I got a perfect, pure book preserved by God. You got to understand this. Not everybody that has faith has the key of faith. There's people that have a Quran. That's not the key of faith. There's people that have the Book of Mormon. Have whatever you want. That's not the key of faith. There's people that have the watchtowers, or the Hindu Vedas, or the origin of the species, or the Buddhist sutras. Yeah, have anything you want. What we're doing is a scientific method of analysis, trying to prove that this book that I'm pointing to right now is the law of faith in written form. So that's the hypothesis, amen? Not all faiths are the same. Not all sacred texts are the same. They can't all be true. You can't say, I believe in Jesus. Well, we all believe in Jesus. He's a good man. He's a great teacher. He evolved. He was reincarnated. He's God Almighty in the flesh. They're not all the same. God Almighty in the flesh is based on this key of faith. See what I mean? Other people don't believe that, but brethren, we can't all be the same. So you're telling me, there was a time when tolerance meant that you respectfully allow somebody to disagree with you, but you don't have to embrace what they're saying. And today, tolerance is you respectfully believe what people say if they disagree with you, but you have to embrace what they're saying, what they're tolerance today doesn't even tolerate tolerance. Amen. Truth of today can't objectively accept what truth really is, because truth, to be truth, has to be absolute. It can't be relative. If it's relative, everybody's right and nobody's wrong. Everybody's wrong, nobody's right. No. God's right and we're all wrong. The hypothesis I'm bringing to you with this scientific method and demonstrating that phrase, the law of faith, begins with a key. Believing objectively, okay, I got my predisposed thoughts upon this, but I'm objectively going to look and analyze the evidence when we get there. That book is the Word of God. Thy Word is true from the beginning, the Bible says. Amen. Every one of thy righteous man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus, I believe in him, but I don't believe he died. I don't believe he ever existed. I believe he died. Don't believe he died on a cross. I believe he died, was buried. I don't believe he rose again. I believe he rose again, but I don't believe it was physical. I believe he rose from the dead. And he's coming back again.
Amen.
See, this book is different than other books. The law of faith isn't based on what other people believe is the word of God. This is what we're testing and challenging today.
Amen. That's what it can be proven and demonstrated. We want to get there. Amen. And other people say, you can't have the truth. Nobody can. You mean to tell me because you don't have the truth, you don't believe someone else can. I'm asking you to stop for a moment and think about the possibility. Maybe God gave you the truth. Maybe since the day you were born, he's been working your life to open your eyes. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe he's been doing that. Just give him a chance, especially if you believe in chance. Amen? God's trying to guide you. He's trying to direct you. So what do we have right here? We have the law of faith, the hypothesis. Is this true? Well, you know, there's mistakes, there's contradictions. You know, people get into all that kind of business. You know, the Gospels have errors because they can. Let me tell you something. If you were sitting in a jury and there was evidence being brought forth, and he gives a testimony, and they don't contradict, what you've got is collaborative truth. You've got people that say, what are you going to say when they say this? What are you going to say when they say this? No, if you got people that independently give their version of something they saw happen, there's going to be supposed contradictions. You would expect that, wouldn't you? That's what you see in this book. But if each one of these supposed contradictions has an explanation, then you're getting closer and closer and closer to the truth. That's what you have in this book. Supposed contradictions aren't contradictions. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. It complements itself. It's putting the pieces together more and more and more. Jesus Christ said, thy word is truth. The word of God is pure. The word of God is tried. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is the first thing right here. This is what we're looking at. That key of faith is that book. The word of faith cometh by hearing. And here, not anybody's faith. Bible faith is what God's asking you to believe. Is it actually the truth? Do you understand the hypothesis we're looking at? There's no lies in it. It's the first step. So we have a key. And now we have a car. Here's the hypothesis. Here's the mobility that you get. I'm going to show you a verse in Romans chapter 5. Or listen to it if you don't turn there. Faith and grace. Five-letter word faith. Five-letter word grace. 55. Saves lives. Buckle up. Amen. It's the law. We're going on a ride today. We want to discover if, in fact, the law of faith can be proven and demonstrated in a way will enhance my personal life. And I'm here to testify that it does, but we're not there yet. Amen. We've got to look at this business about a key and a car, the car of faith. Say, what is it? It's grace. We looked at last week, grace sense. How does God do anything in your life, in behalf of your life? Does anybody, God, do something because he owes you? You work for him and now he owes you? You served him and now he has to pay you? You deserve something, get a reward wrapped around you? No. Anything God does in your life is based on grace. Amen. God's riches at Christ's expense, as an acronym. Everything God does for you is because of who he is. And what you need based on who he is. You say, what do you need? Him. All of him. Amen. So grace is more and more getting us out of the way so we can see him better in our lives without ever taking away our will in the process. Wonderful, wonderful God that we have. Nobody here is a robot if you're saved, amen? That's not what God's expecting of you. But you take this key, and now Romans chapter 5, what you're going to do is you're going to turn the key to open the car. This is the grace mobile. In Romans chapter 5, it says in verse number 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, where? Into this grace. So if you want to access what God wants to do in your life, God wants to save everybody's soul. But they can't access what God wants to do in their life by grace unless they take this key of faith and open the door. I believe Jesus. I believe he died for me. Boom! In a way you never knew before. That's what happened to me. As a matter of fact, that's what happened to everybody who ever has come to understand through the trial of the scientific method that there's evidence to their faith. But you access this grace, this car of faith, with that key. You have to begin. It's like a child wanting, you know, a sweet 16. One of my girls, you know, that I would buy a, you know, a sweet 16 birthday gift for. I didn't do it. It's just make believe. I'd buy him a brand new car. I love you, honey. Here's a key. Oh yeah. They go outside. Where's the car? Hey, honey, I love you. Look outside. Open the window. Wow, there's a car. Where's the key? Sweet 16. Brother, you need them both. Sweet John 3:16.
Yes.
The key and the car. That you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You access what God wants to give you by faith through grace. It works. It always works that way. You have to understand that. We want to get a hold of that. The Bible says that it's impossible to please God apart from faith. Now people say, okay, Brother John, we went through the hypothesis. Now you're not helping me out here. Prove it. Okay? So we want evidence. We're going to begin with circumstantial evidence, and we're going to get to eyewitness evidence. And the more circumstantial evidence you get, the stronger your hypothesis goes from a hypothesis to a theory on the road to a law, the law of faith. I'm telling you, it always works. And he gives you a chapter in Hebrews 11, you don't have to turn there, of a group of people. And he takes you through this, and the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He's telling you that you may not see it, but it can still be seen. There's something empirical and demonstrable about, okay, so you're going to take this key of faith, this word of God, and prove to me, based on, I'm willing to unlock the door, prove to me that's true. And if that's true, then you're on the road to really realizing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You're on your road to understanding the law of faith. Is it true? The theory. It's true, it's true, it's never not true. That's what the evidence proves and demonstrates. He begins with Abel, makes a sacrifice. Did God accept the sacrifice? It's true. He goes to Enoch, who walks with God. Is God pleased with his walk? He's caught up to heaven. It's true. He goes to Noah, tells him, build an ark. Judgment's coming. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because his faith said, oh, I better build an ark because a judgment's coming. See? Was it true? Did a flood come? Well, whether you believe the Bible or not, something catastrophic happened to this world like 4,000 years ago. Something happened for the planet to be filled with sedimentary rock or sand, which comes from movement of water and the fossils and all the incredible things. We just saw a movie on that on Thursday. Amen. He goes to Abraham and Sarah. Now, here's what's important about Abraham and Sarah when you look in Romans chapter 4. The Grace Mobile. Get in the ride. Get in the car. Turn that key. Vroom, 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 vroom. Okay, here's Abel. Vroom, 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 vroom. Here's Enoch. Vroom, 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 vroom. Here's Noah. Boom, boom, boom. Here, and he takes you through the whole circle that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he says. Right in the center, they're all looking at Jesus Christ, whether they understood it or not. The key of faith, you simply say, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try this thing. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust it better. But I got to have some evidence. Prove it to me. Something substantive. And everybody in the Bible that put their faith on Jesus Christ, it always works. Let me see this in Romans chapter 4. It's true, it's true. It's never not true. It's kind of like a Dr. Seuss type of saying. Was he a believer? I don't know. If he was, I know he is now. So how do you know that? The law of faith. You're all going to be Bible believers someday. He says in Romans chapter number 4, verse 3 and 4. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed. See, believed God? It was counted on him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. It's grace. See? Faith, he believed God. Grace. Look at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. not to that only which is of the law, but to that. See, this is what Romans 3 is trying to bring home. You don't have to be a Jew to be saved by grace. You just have to take the key of faith. I believe in the same God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. You find that throughout the Bible over and over. Noah found grace. Was Noah a Jew? No, he wasn't. Let me ask you something. Was Abraham a Jew?
No.
Isn't that something? Wonder Jew. Amen. That's pretty incredible to me. But we want to look at this circumstantial, repeatable, demonstrable evidence that you have right in front of you on the road to understanding the law of faith. It's true. It's true. It's never not true. So when you read the Bible, you've got prophecies that are telling you how Jesus Christ would die. He would be crucified. Did the Jews crucify? But he was crucified. You have the Messiah, and when he would die, the timeline is Daniel chapter number 9, right around 33 AD. I don't want to go too deep. When was Christ crucified? 33 AD. The Bible says that not a bone of him would be broken. When they went to hit his legs with a sledgehammer, they stopped. They said, wait a minute, he's already dead. Let's not break his bones. The Bible says that soldiers would throw dice and gamble for his clothing. When Christ is on that cross, naked, mind you, the soldiers threw dice, gambling for his clothing. The Bible said he would shed his blood. Christ wasn't strangled. When he hanged on the cross, it wasn't hanging with a rope around his neck. He hung on a cross with nails in his hands and his feet, pierced in the side. The blood came out. You see, it's true. It's true. It's never not true. The Bible talks about the Jews, and the Bible says, anybody that blesses the Jew, I'll bless. Anybody that curses the Jew, I'll curse. I want some empirical evidence, brother. Mm. Every nation that's ever gone against the Jew. Mm-hmm. Every nation that's honored the Jew. The Bible says every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. You think this is the greatest country in the world? Because we're Americans. We're fortunate and blessed to be born in this country by the grace of God.
Amen.
But it's by the grace of God. It's the greatest country in the world. And every nation that forgets God shall be turned into... What's going on in our... What do you mean what's going on in our country? 10 of the 10 commandments in the schools? And you don't know what picture to put on a bathroom for crying out loud? Amen. You know, it's half a skirt and half... Confusion. Amen. Well, we take prayer out of the schools. Here come the guns. So what's going on? Every nation, that's proof. When the Bible talks about people getting killed, and every eye in the world will see that. Stupid. 200 years ago. Right now, you've got a cell phone. Anywhere you go, you can show the whole world what's going on. Those Facebook people know about that. Yeah, you got during the days of, it's going to be like the days of Lot. But when I was growing up 30 years ago, 25 years, you know. When I was going up a number of years ago, there was no question that there was something decadent and immoral about homosexuality. Something's wrong with that. In today's society, we don't even know anymore. We've redefined marriage. What's wrong with marriage? We've redefined marriage. We've called good evil and evil good. Amen? We call boys girls and girls boys. It's confused. Every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. Just like the Bible says. Just like the Bible says, this nation would conquer Babylon. This nation would conquer the Medes and Persians. This, by name, boom, 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 boom. Just like the Bible says, violence would increase. You'd have Israel be brought back into there. Nobody ever thought Israel would be a nation. Are you kidding me? Till 48?
Yep.
Just like the Bible said. They'll never get Jerusalem. The Arabs own Jerusalem. Till 1967. They're never going to rebuild the temple till, I don't know. But the law of faith says it's going to happen with 2-1 something, hopefully. Say, how do you know it? Nuclear arsenal and increase of taxes and the apostasy of the church and images. Here come Robo Christ. robots, singularity, and the redefinition of life through the merging of animals and robots and virtual reality doing whatever their imagination says they can do. I think I read that somewhere in the Bible, man. That's called the law of faith. What's happening is exactly what God said would happen. Praise the Lord. It's law. The Hittites and the Amorites and the kings and the judges and clay tablets and geological, you know, diggings and what's it they discover in all of a sudden that never happened. Jericho never until they discover years later there was a city named Jericho just where the Bible says, and it collapsed outward just like the Bible says. Amen. Science is always behind the Bible, but if you're a believer in the Bible, science will catch up to the Bible and enhance and build your faith, taking you places that science can't take you. Amen? Because faith is based on the evidence of things not seen. It's substantive, brother. It's the law of faith. This isn't blind faith God's asking you to believe. Amen? Look at creation, for crying out loud. All around, you're telling me this came by chance? Give me a piece of paper, for crying out loud. You know, boom. And boom, and rip it all up. And I'm going to throw this in the air. And guess what? It's going to come down. It's going to come down together and in order. What?
Next time.
And time again. That book's always true. You're designed. Nobody puts you together by chance. Or you'd look worse than that. A key. And a car. Grace takes me on rides and says, look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and look at all these things happening all around. The grace of God is a testimony that faith works. Everybody that believes the word of God is better for it. I'm telling you right now, you'll be a better person if this book becomes the law of faith in your life. Yes, you will. Amen. A key and a car. Let's go. Okay, key and a car. Faith. Grace, 55. Save. Okay, now we need a cup holder. Can. We got to go further because we have a theory, a hypothesis, that has evidence that we evaluate throughout time, and we see it sure seems to me like this book is being fulfilled. All throughout the past, in the present, can't say yet it's going to happen in the future, but the law of faith says, it's in the past, it is in the present, I think it's going to happen in the future. It's the law of faith. See? So now we get not just a key and a car, now we need to get to the law. Is it true? It's true. It's never not true. How do you prove it's the word of God? Because you can't not prove it's the word of God. There are no mistakes. Now we come to the point where we're saying, I'm objectively willing to say this is law. It's true. Even for you. I need a cup holder. I need somebody who will be willing to try this right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll read it to you. I need somebody who's a cup holder, just an open-hearted person that's willing to say, I just wondered if it's true. There's got to be more than work and wars and sickness and hospitals. There's got to be something more. I just want the truth. I'm looking for an open-hearted, willing cup holder. Sit down. And see where God will bring you this law of faith. He'll bring you into the light and path of what truth is. And someday you'll discover that that truth is personified in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, thank God I got saved. Summer of 1980. Praise the Lord. Don't know the day. Know there was a day. And it changed my life. It's empirical. It's personal. It's individual. It's experiential. I'm an eyewitness that the law of faith works. Say, what'd you do? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, thank you, Lord, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you, that believe. It's true. Even for you. I'm a sinner. I'm dying. Every person I know is a sinner. Not because I hang around bad, evil people, but everybody I know is a sinner. They're all dying, already dead. Every founder of every religion is based on people that are sinners. And they're all dying or they're dead. God's asking you not to trust another person, not to trust a religion. He's asking you to trust this book, the law of faith. The Bible is true. It's true. It's never not true, and it'll be true for you if you just give him the opportunity. You take that key of faith and say, God, I'm a sinner. You get in that grace mobile, and you be the cup holder. And you say, okay, God, save me. David said, my cup runneth over. Jesus says, I'm drinking of a cup that you can't drink of, but you'll know what this cup is. He tells him over there in Matthew chapter number 20. Amen. Sooner or later. Sooner or later, you'll recognize and you'll understand, amen, that you have the word of God and it works. It saves you to the uttermost. You have the word of God and it changes you. Now, what if, I'm going to read you a verse in Romans chapter 10. What if the law of faith, a key, a car, and a cup holder, wherever you are in your life, wherever you are, saved or lost, wherever you, the law of faith is working, it's universal, brother. He says in Romans chapter number 10, I find this amazing. Romans chapter number 10, it's the law of faith. He says, what's it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. Don't say who's going to descend into the deep. Don't say who's going to ascend up to heaven. The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It's in thy heart, the word which we preach. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God. So what if this invisible, eternal, omnipresent God, what if he's right where you are right now? If you're going through the scientific method, you've got this key of faith, you step in this car of faith, and this grace mobile brings you to a point. And what if you just need to open your heart as a willing cup holder and say, God, I'm ready. Show me. Open my eyes. And I'm telling you, be no different than that blind man who Jesus opened his eyes. You'll be no different than the Jews crossing the Red Sea. You'll be no different than Daniel sleeping on a lion that was threatening to devour him. You'll be a sinner just like on the cross of Jesus Christ. And he said, today thou shalt be in paradise. Amen. But why? The law of faith tells me so. But you, I can't do that for you. I can't save your soul. I'm telling you, there's more to life than life that you see around you. There's a life of faith that's abundant and free. It's in Jesus Christ. Well, faith tells me that. Amen. Scientific method. It's experience. Brother, I've experienced it myself. Luke said, I'm going to give you an eyewitness testimony. I saw Christ. I was alive. He died. He was buried and rose again. I'm telling you, I have witnessed the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. He changed my life. By faith, the grace of God has given me peace. By faith, the grace of God has cleared my wicked conscience of guilt that I'm no longer carrying around. I'm free, glory to God. It's the law of faith that's done this to me. It's changed me. And I'm telling you, it'll work for you too.
Amen.
What are you going through right now? He saves you. He changes. He's purging you right now. Okay, Lord, I know what I'm going through. I'm going to take that key of faith. I'm going to trust you sitting in that grace mobile and just be a cup holder. Okay, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me. Draw me close. That's what God's going to do in your life. He's purging you because he loves you. My grace is sufficient for you. But you've got to allow the grace mobile to bring you somewhere in your life where he can show you things about you that's preventing you from seeing things about him. You're a cup holder. Amen. Grace through faith. It's true. It's true. It's never not true. And it's true. It's true even for you. And we want to look at the last thing, brother. It's a can. The Bible talks about the trial of your faith. We're all being tried. And when your faith is tried, whatever you realize, whenever you see you fail, you recognize God takes that failure. He doesn't see it. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, brother, it's gone. Legally, it's gone. We're looking at the scientific truth of this thing. The blood, it's gone. That's a five-letter word, isn't it? Let's look at the can. A cup holder and a can. Okay, here's a cup holder. You ready? Here's the can. You know what the can is? Look at Philippians chapter 4. A key, a car, an open-hearted, willing cup holder, and a can. The law of faith works. It works forever. It will work forever and ever and ever and ever. It's very plain. It's very simple, brother. What? Every day you sign a check. What are you dated on? Come on, brother. You dated on the existence of Jesus Christ. Every Christmas and Easter, the world is compelled and forced to give honor and thought at the least to someone they believe or don't believe in. The birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all around you, for crying out loud. The stars circling with the zodiac and all the different signs that God put up there and gave names, painting a picture for all to see. That's my son. We start with Virgo, the virgin birth. We end with Leo, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's right in front of you, man, all the time. Amen. You're alive because of the grace of God. But you'll ever turn that key and say, why am I alive? Why am I alive? God is why you're alive, dude. Amen. Or dudette. We're coming to a close. Be patient with me. The can, Philippians chapter number 4. If you turn to Philippians 4, I'm going to read you John 15. The law of faith, it ends all laws. John 15, he says this. John 15 says, in John 15, verse number 5, where does he say? Without me. Without me, ye can do nothing. Ye can. Ye can do nothing. A cup holder and a can. Without me. You can sit here and be objective all you want. Until you say, okay, Lord, I'm putting my faith in you. You can do nothing. Mr. Cup holder. What do you need? Philippians chapter 4. Here's the can. What do you think? I was talking about a soda can or a juice can. No, I'm talking about the law of faith can. Every time I send tasks to people that I'm in charge of, the few people I'm in charge of, I always send a list of things I want them to do, and they might be difficult, and I always end it with, you can do. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. Verse number 16. What does it say? What is it? 13. That's a better verse, I think. Yes. I can. Without me, you can do nothing. A cup holder and a can. I can do all things. How? Christ. You know what God did? He put the can in you who cannot. That's why it's the law of faith. It ends all other laws. The key of faith opens the grace mobile. With this cup holder says, okay, Lord, I'm willing to trust. Don't know what you're doing, but I'm trusting you. And here comes the can. He puts Christ inside of you. Yeah. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. It's Christ in you, brother. It's Christ. What happened to you when you got saved? Christ, when you asked Jesus Christ to save you, he came inside of you. His blood. Blood, five-letter word. And Jesus. Right there in the text in Romans chapter number 4. The blood and Jesus, 555. It saves lives. Buckle up. Why? Because God's going to bring you on the ride of your life, brother. Say, how do you know that? The law of faith. You. Here's the main thing. How do you know it's the end of all laws? Because the Bible says all the law is fulfilled in this one word. Love. The Bible says faith worketh by love. This is why it's the law of all laws. Faith worketh by love. You know why God's asking you to put your faith in him? Because he wants you. Because I love you. I want you to put your faith, not because you love me. Faith worketh by love. I want you to sit right there as a couple and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you to show me. I'm going to trust you to get me. I'm going to trust you to protect me in spite of myself. And he said, just trust me. I'm going to get you through this period of time in your life, the trial of your faith. It's always been proven. It's true. It's never not true. You'll experience it in your life, but you have to be willing to be a cup holder. And I put a can in. And the peace of God that passes understanding is going to fill your heart. The law worketh by love. There was a man. You access this love by faith. You experience this love by grace. You prove this love by living the trials of life day by day by day by day by day. And you know this love by the law of faith. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's a man I was reading about coming to an end. He was a football player in 2016, running back. Turned out to be the best college football running back this season. He quit. Oh, you quit on the team. You quit on this. No, he quit on himself. I think that's what God wants you to do. A cup holder in a can. Stop canning. Amen. Hey, he quit on himself, and his name was Joe Williams. And he went, kind of by himself and thought things out. He was guilt-ridden. About a month later, he came back. Got over 1,300 yards this last year. One of the best running backs of the season. They said, what happened? He said, well, 10 years ago, my sister died. Just a young girl. Some heart disease she died of. And then I've been carrying that around all my life. I've been carrying around the guilt of somebody else's problems all my life. And I made them my own. And then I realized that I couldn't run this race burdened with guilt. And that the only way I could honor her death is by me resurrecting in my own life the life of victory instead of death running me down in guilt. So he says he got back up again. I died and I came back again. He ran the best year of his life. Brother, that's the law of faith. The law of faith is just like that. Somebody said, oh, it was Dr. Seuss that said this. Everything stinks until it's finished. It's finished. Oh, the thinks you can think. Sometimes the questions are complicated, but the answers are simple. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house. Today you are you, that is truer than true. There is no one alive that is youer than you. It's true. It's true. It's forever true. Just like Joe Williams had to get aside and say, what am I carrying this baggage for? I need to honor that death by rising myself and living victoriously. What are you carrying guilt around in your life for? What are you blaming other people for? And the law of faith tells me you'll be a better man than you ever could be because Christ is better than you realize he is. What's that? The author and finisher of our faith. Key, car, a cup holder, and a can. Lord, I pray that you would use this lesson, drive it home. Home in the hearts. Christians are struggling, Lord. We need you. So I pray that you would once again revive us anew. With the simple understanding of grace and faith, the precious blood of Christ that was shed, Jesus, the name above every name. We can't, but he can. Help us to remember this as we approach this week of challenges and trials to our faith. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen.
The ride of your life is his life.
The ride of your life is life. Linda Goss. Praise the Lord.